40 fish dead overnight. Not sick, not stressed, not showing a single visible sign of trouble at the 6 o'clock feeding the evening before. She had tested the water 4 days earlier, and everything read clean, ammonia zero, nitrite zero, nitrate in a comfortable range, pH steady. She went to bed with a tank that looked fine. She woke up to a tank that was silent in the particular way that a tank full of living things should never be silent. What the water is trying to tell you is something it was already saying 2 days before those fish died, in a language she had not yet learned to read. Last episode, we stocked the tank. We talked about tilapia, why they forgive more first-season mistakes than any other backyard food fish, how to feed them, how to read their behavior at the surface, and why stocking density matters more than most beginners expect. Today we go deeper. Today we talk about the invisible chemistry of the water those fish live in, and we talk about what happens when that chemistry shifts, because it will shift at some point in every grow-out cycle, and the difference between a shift you catch early and one you find the next morning is entirely a function of what you know how to look for. Water quality management is the discipline that separates the backyard farmers who consistently produce healthy harvests from the ones who keep losing fish and cannot explain why. It is not complicated once you understand the underlying logic, but it is unforgiving to the people who treat it as optional, who test when they remember to, who assume that because the water looked fine last week, it is fine this week, who trust their eyes when the only reliable instrument is a test kit. Here is what is happening in your tank at any given moment, whether you are watching or not. Your fish are eating. Their bodies are processing that food and producing ammonia as a metabolic byproduct through their gills, through their waste, through every biological function that keeps them alive. That ammonia is entering the water continuously. Your beneficial bacterial colony, the one you cultivated during the cycling process, is converting that ammonia to nitrite, and then from nitrite to nitrate. That conversion process has a capacity. It can handle a certain ammonia load per day based on the size and health of the bacterial colony living in your filter media and on your tank surfaces. As long as the ammonia your fish produce stays within that capacity, the water remains safe. The moment it exceeds that capacity, because you added more fish, because you increased feeding, because the water temperature shifted and bacterial activity slowed, because something stressed or killed a portion of your bacterial colony, ammonia begins to accumulate. And accumulating ammonia in a closed system with no outlet is a clock that runs in one direction, at zero. 25 parts per million of ammonia. Tilapia begin to experience gill irritation. You will not see it. They will not show it. They will eat at the next feeding and swim normally and give you no outward signal that anything has changed. At zero, 5 parts per million, immune function begins to suppress. Fish become more susceptible to bacterial infection and parasitic load, though the effects may not manifest for days. At 1.0 part per million and above, you are in an acute toxicity range. Fish will show behavioral stress, reduced feeding, surface gulping, rapid gill movement, erratic swimming. At 2.0 parts per million, mortality begins. The fish that looked fine at 6 in the evening and were dead by 6 the next morning had been living and climbing ammonia for at least 48 hours before the crisis point. The water had been talking. Nobody was listening. The testing routine that prevents this scenario is not demanding. It requires roughly 10 minutes per week, and a liquid test kit that costs between $20 and $30 and lasts through dozens of uses. Test ammonia, nitrite, nitrate, and pH every 7 days in a stable, established system. Test immediately after any change. New fish added. Feeding amount increased. Temperature swing, power outage, water change. Write the results down. Not in your memory, on paper or in a notes app, with the date and time beside each reading. A single test result tells you where you are. A log of test results over time tells you where you are going, and that directional information, that slow drift upward in ammonia readings over 3 consecutive weeks, is worth more than any single data point because it shows you the trend before the trend becomes a crisis. The smell of the water is something experienced farmers develop a reliable sense for over time, and it is worth mentioning here, even though it is not a substitute for testing. Healthy tank water in an established system has almost no smell, or a faint, clean, biological smell that is neutral and earthy. Water with elevated ammonia carries a sharp, faint chemical edge, not overwhelming, but present and recognizable once you know what you are smelling for. Water where the bacterial bloom has a different quality, something closer to the smell of stagnant pond water on a hot day. Neither smell tells you the number, but the smell that is different from what you are used to is a signal worth following up with a test kit before the next feeding. pH is the parameter that receives the least attention from beginners and causes some of the most persistent low-level problems in backyard systems. The ideal pH range for tilapia is 6, 5 to 8, 5 with 7, 0 to 8, 0 being the productive sweet spot. Tilapia tolerate a wide range. This is part of what makes them forgiving. But pH that drifts outside the safe window does not kill fish quickly, and obviously, it stresses them slowly, it suppresses appetite, it slows growth, it reduces immune function. A tank that has been running slightly acidic for 6 weeks will show it in growth rates and feed conversion before it shows it in visible fish health, which means you can lose weeks of productive grow-out time to a pH problem that a $2 test strip could have caught. The cause of pH drift in most backyard systems is the nitrogen cycle itself. As nitrates accumulate over time, as the cycle processes ammonia week after week, the water gradually acidifies. Regular partial water changes are the primary management tool. Replacing 20% of the tank volume with fresh dechlorinated water every 1 to 2 weeks dilutes nitrate accumulation and stabilizes pH without the need for chemical additives in most systems. If your pH is consistently dropping despite regular water changes, you may need to buffer the water, crush coral or oyster shell in the filter, adds calcium carbonate to the water, which resists acidification naturally. This is not an advanced technique. It is a cup of crushed coral in a mesh bag in your filter basket. Dissolved oxygen is the parameter that moves fastest and has the least margin for error. Fish can tolerate elevated ammonia for days before dying. They can tolerate low pH for weeks before it becomes critical. Low dissolved oxygen can kill a tank of tilapia in hours under the right conditions. Specifically, hot water on a still night with no aeration running. Warm water holds less dissolved oxygen than cool water. A Georgia tank, running at 85 degrees in August, is already operating with a reduced oxygen buffer compared to the same tank in May. If your air pump fails on an August night, the oxygen in that warm water can drop to lethal levels for 100 fish before sunrise. This is why the backup air pump on the shelf is not optional. And this is why the surface agitation your air pump creates, that rippling, churning disturbance at the water surface, is doing something more important than it looks. Every bubble that breaks the surface, every ripple that exposes new water to the air, is facilitating gas exchange. Oxygen enters the water. Carbon dioxide, which fish exhale through their gills, exits. A still water surface in a stocked tank is a sealed room. Keep it moving. Back to those 40 fish that died overnight. 2 days before the event, her feeding log, if she had kept one, would have shown a subtle change. The fish were slightly slower to the surface at the evening feeding, not dramatically slower, just a beat behind what they had been the week before. One or two of them hung back at the edge of the group instead of pushing to the center. The ammonia in the tank that evening was sitting at 0.8 parts per million. Not yet in acute toxicity range, but elevated, climbing, and moving in a direction that a test result would have made undeniable. She would have done a partial water change. She would have reduced feeding for 2 days. She would have retested 48 hours later and watched the number come down. She would have lost no fish. The water was telling her. The fish were telling her. The language was quiet and specific and completely learnable. You only need to know where to look. That is what this episode is. Not a warning, but a translation guide. Every parameter has a behavior, a direction, a pace at which it moves, and a consequence for ignoring it. The farmer who tests weekly keeps a log, watches the feeding behavior, and trusts the numbers over the visual impression of the water is the farmer who consistently brings fish to harvest. Not because they are lucky, because they are listening. So here is what I want to know from you today. Be honest. When something in your life starts sending you quiet signals that something is off, not a crisis, just a slow drift in the wrong direction, are you the kind of person who investigates immediately, or do you wait until the signal gets loud enough that you can't ignore it anymore? Because your answer to that question tells me almost everything I need to know about how your first grow-out cycle is going to go.